Good morning, and welcome to our series as we look at the first words of Jesus. The directions were very clear for the disciples. Very clear. Jesus would meet them in Galilee. Now, a lot of times we think, well, what does that mean? Well, you can Google it. From Jerusalem to the Sea of Galilee was 111 miles. You weren't going to cover that really quickly because they were going to do it on foot. As a matter of fact, I asked for the walking directions, and they said that was not available. So I'm sure if it's not available now, it wasn't the simplest thing to do back then. But I'm really convinced that Jesus just couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to surprise the disciples. He knew what they were going through. These men, these women that loved him were mourning, they were grieving. And so he wanted to show up early, and he does. He rocked their world. May he rock our world as well. This morning, Joe and Joey are going to share a song that I think will help get us focused, and then we'll take a look at God's Word this morning.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire, the whole earth shakes.
Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna in the highest.
Let's begin our time by taking a moment to pray. Join with me, if you would, wherever you are. Exercise your faith that God has given to you. Heavenly Father, I present myself to you, and I pray that you'd speak through your word. Your word says that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you want it to. We pray for ourselves today, but we also pray for our nation. We pray for those who are in leadership. We pray for those that are making decisions that affect all of us. And we pray for our world. We pray against the coronavirus, and we pray for those that are suffering. Father, we pray for wisdom. Be with us in a special way during this time. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Several summers ago, I went, I believe, on two hiking trips, and I also did a service project down to McCreary County, Kentucky. Now, the important part of all that is that I didn't shave, and so I let my beard go. It takes a while for this part to come in. This part's pretty strong. But by the end of the summer, I had a white beard. And by October, I had a rather full white beard for myself. And it was mid to late October, and I went to the Jewel food store, pretty close to our house here in Wheaton. And as I was checking out, I noticed that the bagger, I think it's really cool that Jewel hires folks that are challenged, maybe some folks who wouldn't get a job somewhere else. And this young lady was just very exuberant. She had kind of a Rain Man, I would say, cadence. And she was saying, "Happy Halloween to everyone." Until I came through the line. She started by saying, "Happy, happy." And then she said, "Merry, Merry, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." Well, I thought it was pretty funny, as did a lot of other people. I did go home and shave my beard and decide that it's probably time to lose a few pounds as well. Max Lucado shares a story, and I want to make sure that I get this right, so I'm going to read it. But it's a story of a couple that he knows from San Antonio. Their names are Dan and Nancy, and they have a son. And this is the part I want to make sure I get correct, because this is it's a sweet story. Their son, Bill, is 34 years old, and he's described as developmentally delayed non-reading. I don't fully know what that means, but I think I have a pretty good idea. He worked as a bagger at a grocery store. He lived with his parents. And here's the issue, is that he had a propensity to get lost. As a matter of fact, his father said he had a PhD in slip sliding away. He could get lost anywhere. And they were about to celebrate their 40th wedding anniversary. And so Dan and Nancy were going to Hawaii. It had been written for decades that on their 40th anniversary, they're going to Hawaii. And so that meant that Bill could not stay home alone. And he was going to have to fly from San Antonio to Atlanta by himself. So they got pretty anxious as it got closer. They were just thinking, what is going to happen? But they turned their anxiety and their worry into prayer. That's not the easiest thing to do, is it? And sometimes it's easier to just worry, and sometimes it's a fine line between, am I worrying or am I really praying? But they not only prayed themselves, they invited other people to pray. When the day finally arrived for Bill to fly to Atlanta, Dan got him in the car and they went to the airport. And he had a special pass that allowed him to go past security to go back with his son. But his son was getting kind of amped up before it came time to get on the jet. And so they went for a walk. And during that time, Nancy called twice. The brother from Atlanta called, probably getting other text messages from people saying that they're praying. I think this is a great story. When time finally came for them to go to the gate and for them to board, or for Bill to board, when he's just about to get on, two women came up. And they said, "Hey, Bill." And he looks, and here are two women that used to come into the grocery store all the time. You see, everybody knew Bill because he would greet everyone with a high decibel, "Hello," and people just loved it. People loved Bill. They'd actually prayed that there might be somebody on the flight that he would know because he'd feel better. A few moments later, a man walks up and he says, "Hey, Bill, you going to carry my steaks for me?" Because I guess that's what Bill would do. He'd not only bag the groceries, he'd take them out to the car. Everybody loved Bill. Before he boarded the plane, get this, six more people who knew Bill were on that flight. Nine people. You talk about an answer to prayer. Now, I wish every time we prayed, I wish our prayers got answered exactly like that. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. But I think that's a great story. And it's good to share stories like that because they encourage us Don't worry, pray. Put it in God's hands. Here's the passage of scripture for today. It's John chapter 20. We're going to begin with verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening, so this is Resurrection Sunday, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. So they're in this place where they're full of fear. Have you ever been there? For whatever reason, whether you're behind locked doors or not, but you're just in a situation where you're afraid and fear has taken the day. Well, reading on, it says, suddenly Jesus was standing among them. Exclamation point. Well, yeah, I would imagine so. You see, Jesus with his resurrection body could just pass through walls. He could show up anywhere he wanted to, and he had fun doing it. His first words to this group, his guys, his group of followers, peace be with you. Now, some of you that know me better know that I love to use this expression, shalom in your home, because the word peace to people from a Jewish background means much more than kind of like when we were growing up and people were like, peace, man, you know, peace out, stuff like that. No, this was, may your broken world be as God intended it to be. That's what it means. And so Jesus is coming into their dark hideout full of fear, and he says, peace, shalom in your home. May your broken world be as God originally intended to be. And he's going to make it that way, because he's back from the dead. I think it's funny when angels show up many times in scripture, the first thing they say is, fear not. Jesus says, peace. Well, I wonder why. Well, because somebody just showed up right down the street. Anita, the other day, she was out working on her driveway and on her lawn, and I walked up. I see her all the time. I said hello, and I scared her. She jumped. She didn't realize that I was there. Well, imagine if you're inside a locked place and somebody shows up. But Jesus, the first thing he says to them is peace. So we're gonna take a look at this whole idea of having peace. But when I read through some more of this passage of scripture, there's some great stuff here. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And it says they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. They were blown away. Jesus surprised them, and just talking to them, he shows them the scars. They realize, this is just unbelievable. Even though they had heard a report from Mary, they didn't believe it. Just like the two on the road to Emmaus, they didn't buy in. They just couldn't believe the story was true. And they didn't until they saw him. Again, he said, peace be with you. Do you think Jesus is trying to get a point across here? I do. He wants them to have peace of mind, peace at heart. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I say this all the time. People debate all the time about how we get the Holy Spirit. And I could go into a lot of different things that different people believe. Do you know what? I think there's a lot of ways to get filled with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus walks in the room and he breathes on you, yeah, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, when tongues of fire came on their head, yeah, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. But we can ask God every day to fill us with the Spirit. He doesn't care as much about what we believe doctrinally as the fact that we want him in our lives. Then I think it's a great thing to invite God to fill us with his Spirit on a daily basis. It's what I do every morning. Moving ahead to verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. So later on, they told him, we have seen the Lord. And of course, he said, well, that's fantastic. I hope I get to see him too. No, he doesn't buy it. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you. The third time, Jesus says, shalom, peace. May your world be as God intends it to be. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Maybe for some of us, we've struggled with believing. Some of us maybe have more scientific minds. I had a friend in college who was a scientist, and finally he realized that God didn't have to work within the laws of nature, and that was a big revelation to him. I knew that when I was 5 years old. He was a lot smarter in some things, but that was something that I just understood. What's Thomas's response? And Jesus doesn't scold him. He really doesn't. He wants him to believe. Thomas's response, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Now I want you to know that I believe that for each person who's watching, each person who's listening today, that's you. Jesus would say, blessed are you if you believe because you haven't seen. I don't think too many of you have seen the resurrected Jesus. You might say, I've sensed his presence. You might say, I really believe it. But I don't know how many of us would say that we've actually seen him. But the fact that you seek after him, that you seek to serve him and please him, that is pleasing to him because you have never seen him. Now, Jesus gives a lasting peace. John records some of these for us. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you a gift. And this is a gift that each and every one of us can receive and enjoy. What is it? Peace of mind and heart. How many of you could use some peace of mind and heart today? Oh, I think it's a lot of us. And this gift, it was for them in the first century, and it's for us in the 21st century. And here's what he says, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. He's saying, what I'm giving isn't the kind of peace that you can get from listening to some tranquil music that you can get on Spotify. No, the kind of peace that I give you is long-lasting. And then in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I have told you this, that you may have my peace in you. Not just that you know it, but you might feel the peace of God. Before this message is over today, God wants you to experience his peace. He wants you to have calm, no matter what kind of storm is going on outside. No matter what kind of storm might be going on inside your heart right now, he wants you to have peace. He goes on to say, here on this earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. So Jesus wants us to have peace. The Apostle Paul said it's a peace that passes understanding. He wants you to have shalom in your home. Let's read what the Apostle Paul says. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. You know, it's such a simple thing to say thank you. So important. So important to remember to thank God. There's so much to be grateful for. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. You have calm and peace when your circumstances dictate that you shouldn't. That's what he wants to give you. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's a great thing. Jesus says this is his gift, a gift to each and every one of us. You simply need to open it, receive it. Jesus brings it. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Thomas had that question earlier when he said, well, how do we know where you're going? You're going to the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's he saying? I am the perfect representation of the Father. And now I want you to be my representatives. Have you ever thought about that? If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you're an ambassador. You are a representative of Jesus. Some of us would kind of like to go undercover with this, where people don't know that we're Christ follower. I don't always out myself as a pastor because sometimes people feel uncomfortable, especially if they've said something, then they apologize to me. You don't need to apologize to me. But none of us should be undercover for God. We're not called to be undercover agents. God wants us to be his representatives. So I've been thinking about that and the best way to present this. Now, some of you might say, well, hey, preacher, I don't qualify as a representative of God because, well, I've got some things in my past. Everybody's got some things in their past. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to, let's talk about the 11. I think there's some other people in the room. I think there are some women in the room. It was a bunch of people that were scared to death and they were clustered together. Well, let's take a look at the leader of the pack, Peter. And we're going to talk a lot more about Peter next week. Please tune in then. Great stuff with Peter. Wonderful guy. Can't wait to meet him. But Peter denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. Jesus even told him he was going to do it in advance. He did it anyway. John was the only one who had the courage to be close enough to hear Jesus on the cross. And that's why we have some of what we do in his gospel. The other 10, they were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. They're AWOL, absent without leave. And as a matter of fact, this day, Thomas doesn't even show up. And he says to them, I'm sending you out. You're my representatives. You're my ambassador. When I first became a Christian, decided to overtly follow Jesus, I was 17 years old. Then I ended up going to George Williams College. And my brother and I, we fancied ourselves radical followers of Jesus. So one of the things that we like to do is, in those days, in the late 70s, at a small liberal arts college, a lot of the classes weren't too big. Sometimes we'd sit in a circle. And we'd introduce ourselves at the beginning of the class. Tell the class something about yourself. And so I would say something along these lines. My name is Paul Glyman. I might say what my major was. And then I'd say, and I'm an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. At which point some people would laugh and other people would elbow him and say, don't laugh. He's serious. He thinks he really is. Well, I don't know. Maybe I was a little brash, a little silly, whatever. But you know, we are ambassadors. What Jesus is saying here is, I'm counting on you to represent me. Now, I want that to sink in just a little bit. What do you think about that? What do you think about you representing Jesus? I don't know how many of you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. If you remember it in real time, you're older than I am, because I remember it from history. I was just about 3 years old in October of 1962. But the world was on the brink. There's a lot of people that were worried. Great movie, a movie I enjoy very much that depicts those days, is called 13 Days, because that's how long the Cuban Missile Crisis lasted. And the world was on the brink. They were on the brink of a nuclear holocaust. Because now, not only did we have nuclear weapons, but so did the Soviet Union. And we came this close to those things being blown up all over the world. It was a really tense time. As a matter of fact, there's one scene in the movie that depicts a church and has a sign that says open 24 hours. People were lining up outside of Catholic churches so that they could have their confessions heard. People were getting right with God. Why? Because in all likelihood, there was going to be World War III, and they were on the brink. So JFK has one last shot at diplomacy. They've already drawn the line in the sand. If the Soviets don't respond in this way, then they will take action against Cuba. And they know what the response will be. It will be a nuclear holocaust. It is intense. And if somebody blinks, well, you understand. The consequences were great. JFK has one last shot at a diplomatic solution. He has to pick one person. Who do you pick? When I think of somebody to represent me, or this whole concept of being a true ambassador, it's an incredible amount of trust. And there's nuance to it. Like if one of the things that I would really like to see with Jesus is the tone of his voice. I would like to see the expression on his face. Those are sometimes things that we lose in this digital age with texting and email and things like that. But when I think of somebody to represent me, I've said it to my wife that if somebody has to represent her and I'd prefer it's her, because I think she makes a better first impression than I do. I'm not putting myself down. I just think she does. She's a very hospitable person. I say that because I have a great deal of respect for her. Jesus is saying that we're his representatives. That if he has to send one person, sometimes he says, it's you. I'm picking you for this situation. Who did JFK pick? He didn't pick an ambassador. He had to go through a back channel. This wasn't going to be something that the newspapers were going to know about, not initially. He picked the one person in Washington, D.C. that he could trust. The one person that he would trust with his children's lives and their future. He trusted his brother, Bobby. And Bobby went and met with a Russian, the Department of Justice, behind closed doors. And the long story is, the world was saved. How much more today? God has given us this opportunity with a life-giving message, a message of grace, a new covenant message. Jesus coming not only fulfilled the Mosaic covenant, but also the covenants that were made throughout the Old Testament. And someday I'll have a chance to get into that. But what Jesus fulfilled was everything. And we have the chance to share this message of grace and redemption. And he's entrusted it to us. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we say the right things, but the nuance isn't right. The tone isn't right. The expression on our face isn't right. But every once in a while, in retrospect, I feel like Jesus will say to me, yeah, I handpicked you for that. I wanted you in that situation to represent me. There's no greater honor.
What an honor it is that Jesus would choose us to represent him. There's no middle ground. There's no putting this in neutral. The thing that strikes me is that JFK picked his brother Bobby. Jesus, in the first century, picked his little brothers, his little sisters, to represent him. And he does the same thing in the 21st century. He wants you as his little sister, you as his little brother, with God as our Father, to represent him. And the way we represent him is by loving people. That's the thing that's going to make people understand that we're really his representatives, that we are ambassadors for him. I want to share with a final story in conclusion. Bob Goff shares a story about watching the movie Monsters, Inc. I think I've seen some of it, but he shared an insight to it that I had certainly not thought of. The whole story is based on that these monsters like to show up in little children's closets and rooms, and they have secret ways to get in there, and they scare the daylights out of children. And when the children scream, well, that's the fuel for them. That's what gives them their energy. They thrive on that. But one little girl, when she meets the monster, just thinks, oh, it's a pet. This is my friend. And it doesn't work the same for the monster. It defangs the monster, so to speak. I wonder how many of us, through our fears, we fuel our monsters. We look at things, and the more that we worry about them and we stay up all night worrying about them, we make them bigger than what they really are. But you know, I think it works the same way with peace and with hope. That if we fuel the peace, if we fuel the hope, that grows instead of the fear. And I think that if we would fuel our hope and fuel our peace, and that's what Jesus wants to do, and to focus on those things, well, then I think we can dream. We can dream about the better world. We're going to have Hope Rose sing a song about heaven, great Phil Wickham song. And sometimes people look at heaven as like this escapist thing. It's not. God's commissioned us to bring his kingdom here. And we want to get people into heaven, but we also want to get the kingdom of heaven here. But sometimes it's good to have our eyes on the prize and to remember that there's something that lifts us above the din, to not be swamped with worry and fear, to not fuel our monsters, but fuel the hope, fuel the peace. Listen to this song.
Sign your name. I read every word, I read every page. You said you'd be coming for me soon. Oh my God, I'll be ready for you. I wanna run on greener pastures. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter waters in a misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song. I hear your voice and I catch my breath. Well done, my child, enter in and rest. As tears of joy roll down my cheek, beauty beyond my wildest dreams. I wanna run on greener pastures. I wanna dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter water in the misty morning chill. My soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song. I wanna run on greener pastures, dance on higher hills. I wanna drink from sweeter water in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless for the place where I belong. I can't wait to join you.
Before we go today, can I take a moment and pray with you wherever you are? God hears us, and I encourage you to join with me. Heavenly Father, you want to give us your peace. You want to give us a peace that passes understanding. Jesus, you said that you give us peace not like the world does. It's not a temporary thing, but it's from the inside out. And Lord, there are many people today that really need that peace. Many people within my hearing this message. But then beyond that, help us to be agents, ambassadors of your peace, your shalom. Help us to bring this peace to people who desperately need it. Do it, Lord, I pray, for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen. Have a great week and look forward to being with you again soon. God bless you.